It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The amount of news coming out of the Middle East these days is staggering, and much of the coverage we get comes from national and international networks and news organizations. But in the midst of the chaos of the fighting between Israelis and Palestinians, the turmoil in Iraq, and a presidential election in Turkey, is a Pittsburgher keeping track of it all. She is Pittsburgh Tribune Review foreign correspondent Betsy Heil, and she joins us now from Istanbul. Betsy Heil, thanks for taking the time to join us on Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you. Let's begin with the latest news, the off-again, on-again Gaza ceasefire that began in the wee hours of this morning, Pittsburgh time. It is now off again with Israel and Hamas accusing each other of violating the truce. What can you tell us about what's happening here and why the truce fell apart again?
Well, each side is both, like you said, each side is blaming the other for the truce ceasefire failing. But what has also happened is that the Israelis are saying that one of their soldiers was captured by Hamas. And that will lead to a whole nother round of probably much more violence right now is what we're seeing.
So what do you think the next move is going to be as this crisis unravels?
Well, people have been trying to mediate. You had the Egyptians trying to mediate. Some are saying that Hamas took this soldier to get more groundwork to be able to negotiate with a stronger hand once it came to negotiating with the Israelis. But right now you have the Israelis that will react in full force. And it just means more, the cycle of violence, the horrific cycle of violence will continue.
Is the Israeli mentality, is it like what we see with U.S. soldiers, American soldiers, and that idea that we leave no soldier behind? Is that kind of what is at work here?
Yes, it's a very huge deal for Israel for whenever any of its soldiers get kidnapped. And you've seen them do releases, maybe one for five or ten or something like that, when they try and do prisoners exchange, much as the United States did to get its recent soldier back from Afghanistan with the Taliban. So it's the same sort of thing.
Now, the Israeli military believes that there are 30 to 50 tunnels from Gaza into Israel, and we've seen a lot of coverage, particularly on CNN. They've got Wolf Blitzer taking you through the tunnels and showing you what they look like. What can you tell us about the Israeli efforts to destroy these tunnels?
Well, they keep on saying this is what they want to do. They want to continue to stop these tunnels, to break them down. There have long been tunnels. There have been tunnels going into Egypt, too. Many. I've seen them, actually, from both sides between Egypt and Gaza. And so one of their objectives is going to be to try and shut those down so they can't have further infiltration. But it remains to me, I guess today with this soldier was captured, happened when they came out through a tunnel, but it was still inside Gaza.
Now, Israel prefers to have Egypt, a country where you spend a good deal of time, as the main intermediary in whatever peace talks are held, because the country's current military-backed government has a deep antipathy toward the Islamist Hamas movement. Behind the tension between Secretary of State John Kerry and Israel over Mr. Kerry's efforts to broker a Gaza ceasefire is a larger tension concerning the role of Turkey in Palestinian affairs. The U.S. is interested in having Turkey involved in the Mideast peace talks. You're in Turkey. You're in Istanbul. What can you tell us from there about the role the U.S. wants Turkey to play and if it will work?
Well, I mean, Turkey has long had a relationship with the Hamas government, and the government here is more an Islamist government that is sort of related of the same kind to the Hamas government. And so you see Turkey sending aid on its ships over to Gaza. You've seen this before. But Turkey's relationship now with Israel, which at one time had been quite good, has been bad by Prime Minister Erdogan calling Israel's defense against Hamas, or saying its fight against Hamas, is like surpasses that of Hitler, and that has caused a huge stir. And so I don't see a lot of trust on the Israeli side for Turkey to get involved. And on the Egyptian side, like you said, they don't have a great relationship at all with Hamas because they're seen as part of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is considered a terrorist, has been named a terrorist organization in Egypt. So it's kind of hard. Nobody's going to be happy with their negotiating partners, I guess.
And you are covering this in the midst of all of this news coming out of the Middle East. You're covering a presidential election in Turkey, and the prime minister that you mentioned, Mr. Erdogan, is running for president. And here's a man who has adversely affected Turkey's relationship with Israel because of his comments. What is important for us to know about him and this move to run for president? It kind of sounds like, you know, Putin, who's gone between being prime minister and president in Russia.
Yes, right now he's been prime minister three times since, you know, three terms of office since 2001. And now that has come to an end. And so he is running for president through a direct election, which has not happened before. And people are saying, because in Turkey, the office of the presidency is a largely ceremonial one. The system is a parliamentary system where the prime minister holds most of the power. And what some here are fearing is that Erdogan is going to try and change the constitution and change the political system into a strong presidency so that he can rule. And some here say that he is trying to become another sultan. And they fear that power will be vested only in a one state, one person. And that is not something they'd like to see. So that is the big fear. And, of course, it remains to be played out, and it remains because politics is constantly ongoing here and what could happen. But that is the fear of what – but everyone thinks he will be elected.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Tribune Review foreign correspondent Betsy Heil from Istanbul, and she just gave you her assessment of the – presidential election that is taking place this month. We're now into August, and in just a few days, that election will be held. People will be going to the polls there. Meanwhile, Betsy, you've been very busy. You've been moving all around the Middle East, and you were in Iraq a month ago where ISIS has taken control of wide swaths of territory there. How stable is the situation in Iraq based on what you saw?
Still very unstable there. You still have ISIS controlling a lot of this land, not only in Iraq now, but also in Syria, and the connection in between the two countries. And then you have the Kurdish enclave, autonomous enclave, and the Kurds are their leaders have expressed that they want to become independent. And then you have many have criticisms of Nour al-Maliki, who has been the prime minister for many, many years, but now there's an election, and right currently there is no prime minister. So the situation in Iraq is still very, very fluid and can be very dangerous. You know, one of the tragedies I watched and I interviewed were the Christians from Mosul, who are an ancient community, have been displaced from that city, and their churches taken over by ISIS. And so they were given an ultimatum that either they convert or they leave or they die. And so it's very sad to see this community that has been there for several thousand years that speaks Aramaic, the language of Jesus, and they have now no longer able to hold church services or anything. So these minorities are often targeted when these kinds of things happen, and it's quite sad to see.
Is there any place left in Iraq where that church can operate?
Well, many are moving. They moved to Kurdistan, and into the autonomous Kurdish area in the north. And there's actually an area in Erbil, the main city there, where the Christians have joined and some are building, you know, have got new land from the Kurdish government to build a new church. And so you see people there regrouping within Kurdistan because that's the only stable place right now within Iraq.
Would you say, Betsy, that ISIS is threatening to redraw Mideast borders? That's one of the things that we're hearing coming out of the Middle East. What would you say?
Well, I think that's one of their goals. You see them acting in various places that they hold within Syria and Iraq, trying to set up a state. They go in and they're running the government and they're doing it their own way and they're trying to control this area. And as you've seen, their leader has declared himself a caliph, the leader of you know, the empire, the Islamic empire. So he wants to be. But whether, you know, many people anymore will agree with that or follow him beyond where the troubled conflicts, is certainly a big, you know, question.
Betsy, you really get around the Middle East, and for many of us who work in the news and the communications industry, it really is fascinating that the idea of a Pittsburgher who is involved in so much of the daring do that you are involved in on behalf of a local news entity, in this case the Tribune Review. Describe what your life is like and how you managed to establish connections in these far-flung countries and maintain those connections.
Well, I've lived and based myself in Cairo for 14 years, and I was actually a student there before. And so having covered various conflicts in Iraq, I still had contacts there, people, and also around the region, there's people that you know and that you've interviewed over the years that as you've done stories on various different topics. And so you end up just having a lot of different people and you just connect with them and hope you stay in touch. And I have a very large card box now.
I would imagine. But I would also think that there's a certain level of danger that goes along with this.
Sure. I mean, some of my good friends are reporting in Gaza right now, and it's very dangerous there. You know, there's in Iraq, it was very dangerous with what ISIS was doing. And so, yes, there is that. But now I'm in Istanbul and it's totally fine. The worst thing you might have to worry about right now is some tear gas if there's protests. So yeah, it just kind of depends on the situation. But yeah, there are moments of danger, and you just have to learn to keep yourself safe because dead journalists don't tell stories.
Right, and it, obviously, it's important to you to tell stories. What makes this such an important thing for you to the point where you are essentially risking your life?
Well, I think this region is one, it's an historical region, and it's quite amazing to be here and watch various things unfold, watch history unfold. We had the Arab Spring here where people were throwing up, you know, decades-long dictatorships and the kind of, you know, the enthusiasm that people had, and now we're seeing those, you know, the Arab Springs in many of the countries fall apart, and that's also quite sad. But it's something you're watching history unfold. You live in a place that's very ancient and has a lot of its own history, and it's all quite fascinating, and the people you meet are quite amazing at many times.
Betsy Heil is the Pittsburgh Tribune Review foreign correspondent, and she is based mainly in Egypt and travels throughout the Middle East. Currently, she is in Istanbul in Turkey, where she has been speaking to us. And Betsy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, the latest on efforts to save the August Wilson Center. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.